Hey folks, a quick heads up. We're going to be talking about some stuff in this episode that might be triggering for you, so we wanted to let you know off the top, just in case you wanted to sit this one out. We're going to be talking about some transphobia stuff, including usage of the T slur. We're going to be talking about blood and some blood play. And we're going to be talking about some shitty non-consent-y jokes that a person made. Sorry about that. We will totally understand if you don't want to listen to this episode because of that. I don't really want to listen to this episode because of that, to be real with you. So, yep. Here we go. Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I sure do love me some porn. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I am a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I am in Toronto this weekend.
Ooh, you're actually sitting right next to me.
I'm touching your arm.
Weird. It actually is weird to do this podcast next to you.
It is, I think. Oh, this isn't the first time we've done it, but I think this is the first time we've done it without a guest.
Yeah, and on the same mic.
Yeah.
And just, like, staring at each other.
Creepy.
Hello. Hi. So, you're in town because we were attending the Toronto International Porn Festival this weekend. We had a lot of thoughts and feelings about it, folks.
We did. This is not the episode I thought we would be recording.
Ooh, nope.
But, yeah. So what is the Toronto International Porn Festival?
So, the Toronto International Porn Festival is a very long name for an event, first of all. But secondly, it's the current incarnation of something that used to be called the Feminist Porn Awards.
And to be honest, I'm not a fan of the new name. Like, I will go into, like, briefly what happened and why it changed, but it doesn't capture the fact that it's not just any porn that
right.
they honor here, you know what I mean?
Right.
And maybe feminist wasn't the right word for it, but it is, like, indie alternative, queer, feminist.
Diverse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's different. Mm-hmm. This isn't the Porn Awards in Vegas every year.
Right. So they changed the name for a variety of reasons. I know some people who are on an advisory board to help them make some decisions and plan this thing, and I still don't entirely know what the thinking was behind changing the name, but it is a different name now, and they did a series of screenings and a panel, and then it all ended with an awards gala at the end of the weekend.
And they canceled it last year, right? This has been around for a long time, but they took a year off after to kind of reevaluate some stuff.
Yeah, I think it's been going on for like over a decade. I think either last year or this year was the 11th year, and some stuff went on at the last Feminist Porn Awards that was problematic, to say the least.
Kitty Stryker's written a lot about it, I think.
Yeah.
If they want, like, details.
Yeah, we can put a link in the show notes to some stuff about it. One of the things is that they had a sponsor who is known for making transphobic porn, which seems clearly to be against the mission that they set out to achieve.
Yeah.
They're also known for nominating people who are known abusers, which is, again, not great for something that bills itself as feminist.
And when they were called out for this stuff, they didn't handle any of it well. So there
yeah.
was, like, a big boycott on the last year that they did it. And then they took a year off, and now they're back.
Yeah, and I was excited to hear that they were reevaluating and that they were thinking about things and trying to implement some meaningful changes. However, I was disappointed in the execution, which we'll get into later.
Yeah. First off, though, so this, like we said, this ran all weekend. There were some screenings earlier on, and we're kind of going to record things in stages, and we have a clip here that we recorded after the first night of screenings. So this was Thursday night.
I was so young and naive back then.
I know.
Gosh.
Our tone is just going to change so much, you'll see. but we talked about, it was the theme of that night was the best of the last decade, mm-hmm. and we talked about some of our favorite clips during that screening.
Mm-hmm. So we'll play that for you, and then after that, we're going to come back and talk about the gala, and you'll want to stick around for that, because we're going to get angry, y'all. But first, let's hear some happy things from past Dildorks who had not been through the terribleness that was the gala. Hello, Dildorks. This is Friday, April 21st, and we just thought we would give you a little wrap-up of the screening we went to last night. It was the kickoff event of the Toronto International Porn Festival, which we've been so excited for, and the first screening was called The Best Porn of the Last Decade.
It was so good.
It was so good.
Like, sometimes I go to these events, and I'm like, ugh, that's, you know, that's gonna be a lot of porn. And, like, by the end of it, sometimes I get a little burnt out, or I'm like, oh my god, it's so much. But this was, like, 2 hours, and I was not...
There was a lot of variety.
Yeah, I did not have a moment where I was like, okay, if I see another dick. see. Tonight I have 8 hours, so.
Oh, okay. 8 hours?
Nope, 6 hours.
Of porn?
I think so, yeah.
What the, what? Okay, well, I'm not going to be here. I don't know if I can handle 6 hours of porn.
Yeah.
But like, what?
Well, there's also, I think there's going to be like talking and stuff.
Okay, interspersed.
Be spread out. I don't know. There are two different porn events tonight and they start at 7. Mm. So it's going to go for a long time.
Okay. So what was your favorite scene in the screening last night?
There were so many.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. Can we just go through all the ones that we're excited about so that I can be like, this one's my favorite, and then the next one will come up and I'll be like, nope, this one.
Okay, so the first one that really stuck out to me was one called Trans Entities, and it was directed by someone named Morty Diamond. And it was these two folks, like, negotiating a role play scene.
I think one was Ignacio Rivera.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't recognize either of them, but...
Yeah, I don't know the other person.
They, to me, looked trans-mask, maybe, but I don't know how they identify, but, like, they were negotiating, like, an interrogation scene.
And it was so cute, because, like, they started out just negotiating how the scene was gonna look,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, it's gonna be an interrogation scene, like, whatever, they're criminals, they're in on it together,
mm-hmm.
and, like, one person betrayed the other, and that's all you know going in. And then they have, like, a cut, and they're in, like, 1940s mobster gear.
It was so cute! Suspenders and, like, trilby hats, and, like, it was so adorable.
And, like, when they're negotiating it, the person who was the bottom was like, hey, I have this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, is kind of leading the negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and the top is kind of, like, giggly and timid and like, oh, that sounds fun. Yeah, I think we could do some stuff with that. And then the scene starts and they're fucking terrifying.
Yeah, that top was great. Like, it was fully, like, improv and also kink, which I found fascinating as an improv nerd, because they really just combined these two things seamlessly, and it was so hot and fun. And, like, it did what I always wish more porn would do for me, which was, like, it made me want to go home and try things and, like, be more creative in my own sex life. It really made me want to, like, come up with all these role play ideas and figure out how to enact them.
And I really liked how the top wasn't just like, fuck you, you're gonna fucking tell me, and, like... like, went in hard, and, like, they just slowly lured them into their, like, yeah, so let's talk about that last job we did, huh? How did that go? It's like when your parent knows you did something wrong, mm-hmm. trying to give you the chance. Yeah, ugh, it was so good.
Yeah, it was just this, like, slow build, and, like, we as the audience knew what was coming, and, like, the bottom knew what was coming, too, but it was just so satisfying when the actual, like, interrogation and torture started.
It was great.
It was really good, like, modeling of how to negotiate a scene, too.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the first ones of the night, because most of these were just snippets. They didn't show the whole scene.
Yeah.
And that was the first one that ended, and the audience was like, bro, we were not done!
Yeah, but it was good, because now I feel like I want to go buy or rent that scene, however you get that scene, because I would totally watch that whole thing.
To acquire that scene.
Yes. The next one that I had feelings about was the sexing the trans man scene.
Those feelings were mostly about Buck's commentary, I think.
So, Buck Angel, if you don't know, He's a porn star and a pornographer, and he did this series called Sexing the Trans Man, and he's done three or more of them. The one that we saw last night was a clip from the third one, and they're just celebrating, like, trans male sexuality, which is awesome. But so the scene that they showed was, like, a sex scene between a trans man and his partner, and Buck Angel was just fucking narrating the whole thing.
And not narrating like nature documentary narrating. Like, he was just like, sometimes I breathe kind of heavy because I'm a creep.
And then every so often when they're making out, he would just be like, nice. Or like, you guys look so hot.
You like that, don't you? What? And I don't know, like, I couldn't see it. I'm sure he had, like, a good, like, camera kit or whatever, but mm-hmm. in my head, it was just him with an iPhone getting really close on all the close-ups. Like, not zooming, just walking up to them and, like, sliding the camera between them.
See, I actually, like, when we were watching it in a big group like that, I laughed because it seemed funny, but when I do watch his movies by myself, I find that his narration actually is kind of hot to me in a weird way, because, like, it activates some, like, voyeur exhibitionist feelings.
Yeah, I definitely could have been into it, too.
Yeah, and he's such a creep and a perv. It's almost like he's playing a character in the scene, although I believe he probably is just really like that in real life. But
yeah,
it feels like he is a character in the scene.
But it was creepy in kind of a hot way.
Yeah, I'm kind of weirdly into it. The next one that I super loved was Morgana Muses.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for us to get to this one.
Yeah, so her scene is called It's My Birthday and I'll Fly If I Want To. And I've seen this a couple times because they screened it at a couple of the other Feminist Porn Awards events in previous years. It's this woman, I think she's from Australia or New Zealand, and she, like, for her 50th birthday gift to herself, she got herself put up in this, like, beautiful, like, rope bondage thing so that she looks like a...
It's unlike any rope stuff I've ever seen, though. Like, the rig itself was made of rope,
mm-hmm.
and then she was tied into it in this really elaborate harness.
Mm-hmm. And she got her makeup and hair done, and the whole experience of getting tied into it was, like, an erotic experience for her. And she has made herself to look like a phoenix, because it's supposed to be this metaphor about, like, rebirth. I think she, like, left her husband and decided to, like, reprioritize herself in her life when she turned 50, which is just an amazing story. I've cried every time I've seen this scene.
Yeah, yeah. It was just, and the way they did it, like, they showed so much stuff. There were interspersed clips of, like, her interview and then clips of her getting tied and how that all looked.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end, they just show you how the pictures came out. And it's just, like, you see pieces of them tying her and you see, like, what's happening. So you don't expect it to be as shocking as it is when they show you the full picture, but it's fucking phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they make you wait until almost the very end of the scene to see the full rope, like, installation thing, and it's so beautiful. Like, I feel like the audience was just spellbound.
Yeah.
Like, it was just stunning. And she's such a charming person, too. Like, in her interview, she's just, like, adorable, and you're just, like, rooting for her.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
So they showed a scene from Crash Pad series, and it was starring Joey Minx and Lyric Seal. And it was this cool scene where, like, Lyric had stolen Joey's lipstick, and then Joey was punishing Lyric.
And it was just so cute!
Joey Minx is fucking adorable. I have such a huge crush on them.
Yeah. And it was just adorable, like, the way... First, it kind of had that slow build, like the interrogation one, where they were just like, where'd you get this lipstick? Oh yeah, the color looks good on you. You know, I like this color, too. Probably because I bought it. It was just so good. It was so much like an older sibling just, like, picking on their younger sibling kind of mm-hmm. doming.
Ugh. Yeah. And it had something in common with, like, the interrogation scene as well, where, like, it was sort of a playful role play. Like, the interrogation scene was a bit more serious and intense, I think, whereas this Crash Pad one was, like...
Yeah.
They were giggling their way through it, and it was, like, kind of a joke, but also kind of very serious.
Yeah. It reminds me of, like, stuff I've seen from Girl Bullies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oof. Very good.
Well, I know.
Next up, we really love this scene that they showed from Rough Sex 2, which is directed by Tristan Taramino.
Mm-hmm. Tristan. I've only ever seen the third one, so I hadn't seen this scene before. Because the third one has that Danny Wilde scene in it.
The locker room thing?
No, there's a locker room one?
Oh, there's Piff reviewed, our friend of Piff reviewed like a Rough Sex scene that involved a locker room.
Why don't I know about this?
Wolf Hudson, this maybe?
That's even more relevant to my interests.
I can't quite remember, but...
No, Danny Wilde and... Danny Wilde and Sasha Grey on the pool table.
Mm. Oh, I think that's I've seen like, that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Where he, like, crosses her boundary and then...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So the premise of the...
But it's, like, super good.
The Rough anyway. Sex series is amazing also in terms of modeling negotiation, mm-hmm. which I felt was sort of a theme of the whole screening, actually.
I'm interested to see how they handle that in the kink one tonight, because tonight is a bunch of kink videos.
Yeah, I'm so bummed I can't go. But the Rough Sex series that Tristan Taramino does, or did, I think it's always a woman who describes her fantasy in, like, a lot of detail with the other people who are going to be in the scene are there, too. And Tristan's kind of leading the session. And then they sort of hammer out all the details of, like, what's going to happen in the scene. And then they do the scene. And it was this amazing, like, domestic service / punishment thing between Cinnamon Love and Orpheus.
Orpheus Black, yeah.
Yeah, fuck, it was really good.
It was so good. And, like, so the thing I love was that Orpheus was hosting, like, a poker game.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else there was instructed to ignore her. And one of the things Tristan says during the, like, negotiation thing is, like, reminds the people. And she's like, and remember, like, you're there to play poker. So he's going to offer her to you, but y'all don't have to take it if you're not feeling it. Like, someone else can or whatever. You're just there to play poker. And, like, oh, it's so hot. Just that entire concept. And, like, and, yeah, so she's supposed to be in service. And whoops, she messed something up. Oh, darn.
She, like, drops some ice out of a drink.
Yeah.
And then he makes her pick up the ice with her mouth.
Yeah.
And she's wearing a serving tray that's attached to her collar via a chain. It was the coolest shit. I had so many feelings about it.
Yeah, and a whole latex outfit.
Ugh.
And then he, like, punishes her. And just the way that, like, the other people in the room kind of, like, glance up and go back to their game, and I think at one point they're like, yo, it's your turn, like, come back over.
It felt so really good. Authentic. It felt like a real poker game, which, like, usually in this type of porn, it's a little over the top and cartoonish.
We had a friend there with us at the screening last night, and there were multiple scenes that started with a game. There was, like, one that had Parcheesi in it and one that had chess, and he's sitting next to me the entire time being like, but who won Parcheesi? He was so focused on the game, so I feel like this one would have been really satisfying. So, the one, like, right after that was so good. It was so campy and ridiculous. Okay, so it's called Best Slumber Party Ever by Samuel Shanahoy?
I don't know if that's how that's pronounced, but...
That's how it's gonna be.
Good enough try.
Great.
Had this sort of 80s teen movie
It really
aesthetic.
Did. There was, so there were two, there was a group of three, like, very clearly the popular girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if the other person was supposed to be, like, I don't know what their gender identity was.
Mm-hmm. I was getting, they like, were, awkward tomboy, but
yeah,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was awkward tomboy or just awkward boy.
Right.
I was putting myself into the scene, so they were just the awkward 14-year-old boy who has the crush on the girl slightly older, you know? But, like, the cool girls come over, and it's so campy, it's so good. And this awkward person gets invited to the slumber party, which naturally turns into an orgy. And it's so good.
There was, like, pillow fights,
and, like, they at one point they tie up that person and make them watch while they play.
It was so adorable.
And then torture them into saying that they like Sporty Spice.
That was great.
It was so cute and just, like, all of my awkward scene boy dreams come true.
It reminded me of when we went to the Woodhull Sexual Freedom Summit last year, and there was this panel about, like, power play, and one of the people on the panel was like, I identify as a schoolyard bully. And I just had this light bulb moment where I was like, I've never thought about role-playing as a schoolyard bully, but that's amazing, and now I want to do that.
Yeah. My sir made a joke about something along those lines once, and I was like, well, I feel some ways. Hi. And he was like, am I gonna steal your lunch money? And I'm like, you just might, actually. Yes.
Oh, so weirdly hot. The last scene I was really into in that screening was by OVD, who I think is French. Her film was called Liberté Sexuelle. And the scene that they showed was this really cool scene where this woman was blindfolded and then she was surrounded by, like, 6 or 8 friends, and then she had to guess who was going down on her. Like, they all alternated going down on her, and then she had to guess who each person was.
I want to play this game.
Me too. It looked like so much fun.
Oh my god. I want to play this game with so many people.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I had some kink feelings about, like, her role as the central person in this scene, because, like, at some points, she seemed like the queen and, like, very, like, the top and, like, the center of attention and, like, the highest status in the room. But then there are other points where, like, they were trying to, like, pull one over on her and she had more, like, a subby feel to her. It was really interesting.
Yeah. And I'm just, like, the scene was kind of hot, but, well, I mean, the scene was pretty hot, but it was also just a lot of me being like, oh my god, how many groups can I just do this in, and can we just take turns blindfolding people? And how distinct do, like, I just got so nerdy and interested in it, and how distinct are everyone's different techniques, mm-hmm. and like, ugh, mm-hmm. I want to do the thing.
Yeah, it would be so much fun.
So. And then the way at the end, when the last person is her husband.
That was so cute.
She just, like, smiles and was like, oh, I know who that is. Aww. And it was so cute.
Adorable. So that was the Best Porn of the Last Decade screening from the Toronto International Porn Festival. There's some more porn events happening through the rest of the weekend that we're going to talk about.
Tonight I have a one that's an exhibitionist stuff. Or, like, public, whatever, mm-hmm. and one that's kink-themed. So these are all highly relevant to my interests, and I'm really excited about that.
And then on Sunday is the gala.
Woo! Fancy pants.
Awards! So after that screening, I went out of town. I had to attend a wedding and had to miss some porn festival events. Very sad.
So I went to 2 events the following night, one which was public provocative porn and the other called The Kinkier Side of Lust. The public one kind of confused me with their theming because, like, isn't all porn kind of exhibitionist? But I was picturing stuff like, you know, kink.com's public whatever, public disgrace ones, or like... There's a really great Erica Lust scene that happens, like, in the woods, and someone stumbles upon them, and then they join the party, and it's, like, this whole thing. You know, stuff like that, where the exhibitionism really plays into it. No, it was none of that. No. it was just porn, which is great. Like, the scenes were all pretty good, but they also all kind of blurred together, and, like, while they were happening, I was like, oh, this is hot. But there was nothing that stood out, and there was no real, like, arc or story to the clips. There was no, like, when you build a playlist, right, the songs may not all go together, but they're gonna flow in a certain way, mm-hmm. and that didn't really happen. It was just kind of mediocre stuff, mm-hmm. which, it didn't feel curated, mm-hmm. you know, And then The Kinkier Side of Lust was similar. The kink was fine. There was nothing super intense. They screened part of Femmes there, which is a Cine Sinclair scene.
It's directed by our friend Kate Sinclair, who is fantastic.
Yeah, and it's a phenomenal scene with some kink stuff in it, which is why it was in the kink screening, mm-hmm. except they showed the first 5 minutes that had, like, making out.
Which Kate told us later was actually a mistake, and they were supposed to play some minutes from later in the scene where there was some actual kink stuff happening, but apparently they had some kind of tech problem, oversight, and just played the wrong 5 minutes, which was pretty emblematic of how the whole weekend went.
Yeah. It was the whole wrong weekend.
Yeah.
And then there were some events on Saturday. There was a VR porn experience, which is kind of cool, and then some panels. But there were panels after both of the other screenings. And the thing with them is, like, the people did not seem to know that they were even gonna be on a panel on the ones after the screenings. And they were, like, invited up. And there was no, like, organization or questions planned. It was just kind of like, were you in one of the scenes on that we just showed? Have we seen you naked? Come up here. And, like, so Jiz Lee went up every time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. There was usually, like, one or two other people, maybe. And then they just asked the audience for questions, but no one really had any. And, like, they didn't really have any backup questions.
Yeah. Which, like, can I say, like, for an organization that prides itself on valuing consent, it does seem problematic to be like, hey, come up and answer questions from the audience without any warning or preparation that you were going to be doing this. And, like, similarly, there was a moment at the gala where they called up people on stage, and Carlisle Jansen from Good For Her was like, you're all exhibitionists, you all like being on stage. And I was like, you don't know if they're all exhibitionists. And, like, that's not, that's, like, a weird joke to make, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was probably the mildest of weird things that happened at the gala.
Oh, God. Are we getting into the gala now? Jeez.
That was Sunday night. Mm-hmm. So the events on Saturday, I didn't make it to. I had some other stuff come up that I was working on. So I didn't do any of that. I heard it was fine. I didn't hear anything huge from there. But yeah, then Sunday night was the gala, which Kate had come back from her trip,
mm-hmm.
and we got all fancied up to go to together.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I should say, usually the gala is pretty fun. It is an opportunity to, like, dress fancy and sexy, and you see usually all these porn stars dressed up, and in previous years that I've gone, it's been a really fun event.
Really excited.
Yeah, like, you hear good things about it, and it's usually sort of the highlight of the porn festival.
And it's a goddamn gala, isn't that the point?
Yeah, exactly. this year, from what I understand, they only hired the director of the whole festival, like, 3 or 4 months in advance of the festival itself.
That's not how you do these
You
things.
Super cannot do that. And, like, I can't personally speak to the skill or experience level of the people involved in putting together the festival, because I just don't really know. But I would imagine even if you're an extremely skilled event planner or coordinator or whatever, it's really hard to throw together an event this big in that short of a time frame. So yeah. I was trying to keep that in mind and be charitable, especially in terms of the smaller issues like tech problems. But
which there were a lot of.
Oh my God. Let's talk about the tech. Okay, so I went to an arts high school where, like, stage managing and, like, tech crew were very highly, like, revered and understood to be very important. And so I was just, like, cringing the whole time. But, like, everybody was. Like, it was not small tech mistakes. It was a mess.
Like, the first clip that aired had no sound.
Yeah.
Like, it was just playing. And there are these... We're in, like, this hall, and there are two hallways across the top, like, balconies, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the screen starts, and, you know, it's playing, and all of a sudden you see someone dash across the hallway.
Just running at full speed.
And the person behind us is just like, and that's the sound guy.
They were like, his name is Dave. See Dave run.
Which, like, kind of, I think at that point we were all a little apprehensive. Because, okay, so at that point we had also, it was 8:15, and we had been told that, like, the event was listed as starting at 7 online.
And usually the FPA gala would say, like, cocktail hour, like, doors start at 7, and then, like, show itself starts at 8. But, like, the website just had no such details. It said the event went from 7 to 10. So, of course, we're going to show up at 7 because we're anxious little keeners, and yeah, we wanted to make sure we didn't miss anything. And then we're sitting around for over an hour.
And we changed our dinner plans so we could get there that
early. Yeah, we rushed through our dinner. I was so mad.
So the audience was already, like, when things were a little wonky, we were kind of, like, the audience seemed already apprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then this kind of lightened it, and, like, that person made the joke, and we were like, all right, things, we got this. It's gonna go. And then, no, it didn't get better. But even, like, walking in, like, you go into an event like this, it's supposed to be a gala, right? It's supposed to be fancy. You picture, like, dim lighting and, like, music playing and whatever, and then the show starts and the lights come down and, you know, the people on stage are lit up. It was none of those things. The lights stayed up the entire time.
You can't leave the house lights on, especially if you're going to be showing porn. Like, people don't want to feel like everybody can see them.
Yeah, and the house lights were, like, all the way up. It was just fine. Like, I felt like I was in a high school auditorium watching porn.
Yeah.
Which could be hot, but it wasn't.
Nope. So the other tech problem that kept making me laugh and also was horrible was they had all the winners of each category would be announced via, like, a video clip that played and, like, showed the name of the film and the director. And whoever was running the tech kept, like, playing the video before the person actually announced it. So, like,
it was like it was one ongoing
one
thing. And, like, the one would end and they wouldn't pause before the next one started.
Yeah.
So you always got, like, the first 3 seconds.
So you knew who was about to win before they announced it. It had absolutely no sense of, like, intrigue or surprise. Like, it was very confusing and not what an awards show should feel like.
Yeah. And the clips they played were, like, they weren't of, like, a uniform length. And they seemed like they were just
randomly chosen. Yeah,
it was hard. Like, one of the awards was best orgasm, and it was towards the end, and by that point I looked at Kate and I was like, I bet you they don't even show the orgasm. And they did. I was surprised, but, like,
that's one where it's super extra important to make sure you hit the right clip. So,
but, like, it was just the most, like, sporadic, weirdly chosen clips that did not speak to the full scene, because a lot of these were scenes that I had seen earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, some of them I had to, like, lean over to Kate and be like, this is what's happening.
Yeah, you were telling me
this already.
The one that, like, there was one that takes place in an elevator, and you were telling me that there was, like, a woman behind the woman on screen who was, like, peeing in a handbag. When you told me that, I was like, that's really interesting. I wish I could see that. But they were just showing sort of a reaction, facial expression of the other woman in the elevator. And I was like, I literally can't tell what's happening. This is just like a 30-second clip of a woman looking uncomfortable.
And the scene is so, like, that scene in particular builds everything up so well, and, like, there is almost no dialogue, so it is all facial expressions. And when you see the 30-second clip they showed of the person looking uncomfortable and slightly turned on and unsure of themselves, it is a really poignant, like, facial expression clip. It's a really good one. She shows a lot, but without any context, it's just like, this person looks like they're feeling some weird things, and I don't know why. And it's because a stranger is pissing in her handbag. Like, that's relevant.
Yeah, and I wonder if they were perhaps relying on the knowledge that's, like, many of the audience members would have seen a lot of these clips at the screenings, but, like, I had not seen most of them, so I was confused by a lot of it. And I think also, like, a lot of people don't go to all the events, especially non-industry people, because you do have to pay for all of them individually. And we had press passes, so we could go to everything, but I know not everybody is in that position, so, like, you do need to, like, provide more context for a lot of these clips, I think.
Yeah, and, like, a few minutes later in that scene is a spanking scene. Mm-hmm. That still has the cool, like, awkward, we're not talking about this, but we both kind of want to do it feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
While still being, like, spanking that we could watch and would be entertaining, and would, you don't necessarily need context to understand a hairbrush on an ass, like, that we're just like, I understand.
Uh-huh.
I've been there.
Also, from, like, an organization perspective, which, like, we're both very organized people,
my degree is in public speaking, and I'm a Virgo,
so they kept, like, the host kept having to, like, walk backstage and check to see if the next person was ready to come up, which, like, they had a stage manager, I'm pretty sure it's the stage manager's job to make sure that the person who's going on next is there and is ready.
And sometimes the answer was, I don't know where they are.
Yeah, and, like, I'm not necessarily blaming individual people here. Because, again, like, if you have such a short timeline, it's understandable that you wouldn't have all your ducks in a row. But the whole thing was just so disorganized. It was, like, high school play levels of... Actually, my high school did way better productions than this.
Yeah, definitely. And, like... Swear to God, this person on stage multiple times said, I'll be right back, or hang on a second. And I was just sitting in the audience like, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
That's not allowed. Mm-hmm. Hang on, I'll be, like, we're not on the phone. Like, the Chinese guy's here, I'll be right back, I gotta go get my food. Like, just not allowed.
So part of the problem was that a lot of people who they had hoped or expected to be there were not there. And, like, that was largely due to disorganization. They didn't give enough notice of the event happening for people to be able to, like, book their flights and stuff like they have in previous years.
Apparently nominees found out, like, 3 weeks ago that they were nominated.
Right, and you need more time to be able to book your ticket, especially if you're, like, looking for a lower price ticket, which, like, flight prices go up and down, as I'm sure many of you know. And, like, we have a friend who was a presenter who was only notified, like, a few days before the event that they would be asked to present. And, like, that's so disorganized. You got to give people more time than that.
Yeah, and so no one was there, which means a couple things. Like, first of all, so at the end of the event, they're like, wow, we started super late and we're still done ahead of schedule. That's awesome. You know why they were done ahead of schedule? Because no one accepted any awards. None at all. They, like, there was no excitement to it because they literally held up the paper and they were like, and the award for sexiest short goes to Trinity. Awesome. Next, we have the steamiest straight movie. Like, it was all one sentence. There was no acceptance speeches. There was no rising music and cheers. I told Kate this. It felt like I was sitting in, like, my clubhouse with a bunch of other 14-year-old friends being like, so I think the hottest Brooklyn Nine-Nine character is, and giving out prizes to people who were not there. The Feminist Porn Awards used to be, like, a pretty big deal award to get.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it felt like, I know the issue was disorganization,
mm-hmm.
but it felt like we were giving awards to people who didn't even care enough about these awards because they didn't matter. And it lacked that excitement. And that's not what the Feminist Porn Awards used to be. Because these are big awards to get.
Right. I remember even 3 years ago I attended the awards and I was sitting in the second row, so ahead of me in the front row were James Darling, Jiz Lee, and Wolf Hudson. And then to my left was Dylan Ryan. And then I could also see April Flores. So, like, there were just literal porn stars everywhere. And it was just, like, glamorous and exciting. It's because you got to give people warning so that they can get there. But also, like, I feel like a lot of people have just dropped their allegiance to this awards show because they've done so many shitty things and not really apologized for them. So, like, a lot of the quote cool kids in the porn world don't want to hang out with the Feminist Porn Award people because they haven't fixed the shit that they did wrong.
Yeah, and I think that was also, there were a lot of big names noticeably missing from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a matter that those people aren't submitting their films anymore, and it felt weird to not have anything from Tristan, anything from, like, Trouble Films, anything. There was some pink and white stuff, and Jiz was there to accept stuff for mm-hmm. on behalf of them. But, like, nothing from James Darling, nothing from a lot of, like, really big-name people
mm-hmm.
that should have been there.
Yeah, it was super weird.
And the thing about that is, like, we had some friends win awards who were there. The people from Spit won. Kate Sinclair from Cine Sinclair won something.
Yeah.
And when those people went up on stage, and even when Jiz went up on stage to accept a couple of things on behalf of Crash Pet, or Pink and White and Shine,
mm-hmm.
That's when, like, I felt it for a second.
Yeah.
you know, seeing my friends run up there cheering and excited and, like, giving an awards acceptance speech, I was like, oh, this is what an awards show is supposed to be. Like, I got all excited and wanted to, like, hug my friends and be like, congratulations, it's amazing. Like, they just all look so happy to be winning. And, like, when all of the other awards didn't have that, even... You know, even if you do it this last minute and you get a video from the winners or something, or you drop the lights and play, like, a really cool montage clip, series of clips from the event or from
the film.
The film you picked. Yeah. Like, something like that. But there was, it was just no moment for excitement, no build-up. And I think part of that, too, the presenters, some of them were great and some of them... seemed like they had been given no prep and told nothing and just kind of been like, go present an award.
Yeah, they were like mispronouncing names and seemed to be struggling to read what was on the papers they were given. And like, you should send out this stuff to the presenters before they actually get on stage so they can read it and practice it.
Yeah.
I do want to say, though, I was so, so happy that our friends at Spit and at Cinna Sinclair won awards. Like, John B. at Spit, who is the artistic director there, is so amazing. He has shot me a couple times, and every single time he's shot me, I've just felt so beautiful and sexy in those scenes. But also, he's just really good at, like, disappearing when he needs to disappear. So, like, there are definitely times during shoots with him where I just lose awareness that he's even there, which I think is a really important and difficult skill in someone who's making porn. So I was so happy he won an award because he's really, really great and really talented. And we tried to congratulate him after the show and he was just like, I'm not good at accepting compliments. But, like, he deserves all the compliments because he's really good and Spit is fantastic. And Kate Sinclair is also a wonderful person with such a vision. And, like, I love everything she does. She does Cherry Stems and Cinna Sinclair, which are softcore and hardcore, respectively. And we were very happy that they won awards.
Yeah, I remember hearing John B. talk about how, like, a lot of his basis in filming is in wedding videos.
Mm-hmm.
And that just explains so much about what it's like shooting with him and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've shot with Kate, too, and it's just so fun, and, like, she gives the perfect amount of direction to really get you comfortable without, like, I don't know, without feeling like she's bossing you around. I mean, I'm into that, but, you know. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
She's great. They're all great. Give them glass butt plugs. Other than those two, though... The awards themselves, they weren't just anticlimactic. They seemed really disorganized and hard to follow. So there were a ton of different categories, and sometimes it felt like they had picked films they wanted to celebrate and then created categories for them.
I feel like it's always been like that with the FPAs. Like, they never, like, it's not like the Oscars where, like, they read several nominees and then they tell you which one was the winner.
Which would be exciting.
Right. I think most people are expecting a format more like that. They post, like, a full list of nominees on the website, like, a few weeks before or months before the event, and then they, like, announce who won, but, like, you don't know what the categories are going to be. It's very confusing.
Yeah, and then so some of the categories came up multiple times, and then other categories were, like, missing entirely. Okay, so, like, for example, we had sexiest short, which was Trinity, which was really good, and best short, which was White Fur, which was also good. However, that's the same damn award. And then you had Best Fetish, Best BDSM, and Hottest Kink. And I understand nuances. However, stop. Like, there were multiple times where I was like, didn't this just happen? And then there were... stuff like they had Hottest Straight Vignette and Steamiest Straight Movie and Hottest Lesbian Vignette, but nothing gay. Like, there were no gay categories. The closest thing to something that got a gay award, which was Trinity, which is a male-male female threesome, and then you're led to believe that, like, it's a straight couple who invited a third in to mix things up, and at the end of the film you find out it's the two guys are the couple and they invited her over.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a gay scene, but different.
Which, like, feminist porn
as... It's bi scene.
Yeah, feminist porn as a category has traditionally been pretty female-focused. There's been more of an emphasis on, like, the woman's experience of straight sex and then also on lesbian sex and a lot of stuff about, like, trans and non-binary folks. There hasn't traditionally been a lot of gay male representation in the feminist porn genre, but I think that that is definitely changing. And I also think that since part of their mission is about diversity and inclusion, etc., like, it wouldn't have hurt to have looked a little harder for that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, okay, so that's not the main narrative. I think that means it's all the more important to go fucking find it.
Exactly.
And show it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's stuff with trans men that's definitely feminist, that's definitely gay.
Mm-hmm.
FTM.xxx won an award, who I had never heard of, and I was like, oh, that seems relevant to my interests, and I looked it up, and it's just, it's, FTM solo and straight scenes, and I was like, cool, great, good, but, like, where are the gay people? Mm-hmm. and then...
There was also an award for best orgy... And it was a threesome scene. That's not an orgy.
Also, it was one of the only orgies they screened.
It wasn't an orgy.
And it wasn't an orgy. It was one of the only group sex things they screened.
Right, but we saw a thing at the screening we went to.
Yeah.
There was multiple people going down on the same woman. That's closer to an orgy than the threesome is.
Yeah, and the threesome, like, to be the rest of that clip... someone falls asleep in a bar and fantasizes about everyone in the bar starting fucking each other.
Okay, so but show that scene then.
The core the core part of the scene is she has a threesome with this couple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more like a threesome in a sex club than it is an orgy.
Mm-hmm.
And that may seem like a weird distinction to some people. But it really is a different
meanings, okay?
The other thing is I would have liked to see more trans folks winning things and doing things mm-hmm. in general.
Because they exist and they are doing things. Like, we see trans porn all the time.
Yeah, and this is so often trans porn awards are kind of transphobic and kind of problematic and mm-hmm. run by companies that, like, are objectifying trans folks and trans folks that have to do those things to make money, and that's real, like, but this is a great opportunity to celebrate trans folks, and there was a trans award winner who won in the trans category.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Step one. I'm so proud. Honored websites had FTM.xxx. Jizzly won a bunch of awards, which... important, also kind of expected. Like, Jizzly is amazing and a really big deal in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only other trans winner that I know of or that I can recall, there may have been some more non-binary folks that I'm not sure of their identities, but was Most Dazzling DocuPorn, which was a film with a trans man and a trans woman. And use the T slur in the title.
Oof.
Which is complicated.
So they had a cis male person, like, a cis male person was the presenter, and we know him, and he's a good dude.
Yeah.
He said the T slur when he read the name of the film, and I wondered if he had been told that that was the film he was going to have to say the name of. Because to me, it seemed like he was, like, uncomfortable saying it, as you should be when you're a cis person using that word.
Yeah.
But I wondered if he had any time to prepare and, like, make a decision as to whether or not he was going to say it. And I just think a trans person should have given that award. I don't think that would have been hard to arrange. Like,
yeah. And it just... I understand the reclaiming of words.
Mm-hmm.
I do it with queer. I do it with slut. I do it with a lot of words.
Mm-hmm.
T-slur is not a word I feel comfy reclaiming. It feels like something more flung at trans feminine folks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not my word that I'm going to play with. And I can recognize trans folks maybe wanting to reclaim that, and I know there are plenty that do. And choosing to include a film with that word in the title feels like something that should have been done very deliberately and maybe with more context for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the clips they showed of the film, which they showed when it got the award and they showed it during one of the screenings, so I saw, I don't know, it was maybe like 5 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever. There wasn't much to it where I could see that this was a decision that they had made and that they had spent a lot of time on and that these were trans people who were conscious of their history and all of that. And that may be true. And I really hope it is. Like, I hope that they really thought about this. And but there are also people, even trans people, who don't spend a lot of time delving into their own history and aren't really conscious of social justice things and culturally. They are trans, they have that lived experience, and it's more a fact of their life than a core identity that they've really explored. And that is totally valid and fine. I wish I knew that the use of this word was a more conscious decision on everyone's part and not something that was just being flung around, because it's a heavy word and it's not one that everyone realizes is that intense.
Yep. And as organizers of what was formerly called the Feminist Porn Awards, they absolutely know that this is a heavy word that you can't just throw around, and yet they did, so that's a bit upsetting.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of stuff in the awards was problematic like that. And I just actually today wrote an email to the awards because I was going to just be like, let's do the podcast and maybe they'll listen to it and take some of these suggestions into account. But I was like, there are a couple things that I particularly need to point out as, like, you need to address these things and ideally apologize for them. So one of the things I talked about was the host. Deb Pierce was the MC, and if I understand correctly, she's hosted it on a number of occasions. She was making non-consenty jokes all fucking night. This is not okay anywhere. This is particularly not okay at an event that claims to value consent. I felt like I could reach out to them as someone who was, like, upset by these things but not triggered, because I don't have, like, a history with sexual assault or anything, but I'm sure that there were people in the room who were triggered by some of those comments. Like, some examples were, like, Deb, like, hit on the ASL interpreter and was saying, like, how cute he was and, like,
He's doing his damn job, and the MC is basically catcalling him. Like, these are things that I think would very obviously not be okay if the ASL... Well, there were two ASL interpreters, yeah. But if she was saying this to a woman.
Right, and it was very sexual comments about wanting to have sex with him, and that being okay because of the context we were in. And no, it's not okay.
And, like, literally said was, like, are you single? No. Why are they here tonight? And then you're single. Like, no.
Stop, like, that. Boundaries and consent are so important in porn and everywhere, but especially in porn. And that's been a cornerstone of the feminist porn movement for as long as I've been aware of it. And that's just unacceptable. She also, at one point after intermission, made this joke where she, like, joked that people might have been having sex in the bathroom in intermission, which, first of all, I really doubt that because it was not a sexy event.
Yeah, it was not hot.
But she made some joke about how she wished that she'd been wearing a wireless mic so she could go in and, like, record people having sex in there. I was like,
yeah, or, like, catch them in there.
Like, no, that's not a thing you can do. She also kept making references to alcohol, like, all fucking night, like, asking the crowd over and over again, like, are you drinking? Like, who's not drinking in here? Put up your hand if you're not drinking. You should drink more. And it's like, there are people in the room who are sober and who are avoiding alcohol for a variety of reasons that might range from benign to, like, very upsetting or triggering for them. And you're just pushing it over and over and over again. Again, like, consent. Like, what is going on? So this is what I wrote to them in my email today. I was like, you're trying to uplift and prioritize people of diverse backgrounds and experiences. And if you want those people to come to your events, you have to make sure that they feel safe and welcome. And making non-consenting jokes all fucking night is not a way to do that.
Yeah, and speaking of things that people might find triggering, there was this other scene that they aired during the Kink event, and then once again when it won an award. It won Smutty School Teacher as an education scene. None of the clips they showed any education. I think that would have been super fascinating, because it was a blood play scene, which I would love to learn about. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, I do want to emphasize, like, as a kink, I don't have a problem with blood play. To me, the issue was not that they gave an award to a blood play scene or that they were celebrating it. Yeah. They didn't give a fucking trigger warning, and they showed a blood play scene to a group full of people who had not been warned they were about to see blood.
And it wasn't like... So they also showed two different vampire scenes. And the vampire scenes, you see, like, the people have vampire teeth, and they're putting their mouths near each other's necks and wrists. And you're like, oh, blood might happen. Mm-hmm. That's a thing that could happen here, and if that's a problem for me, I should look away. I should prepare myself, you know? Like, I have stuff, like, that triggers my anxiety that generally when I see it coming, I can see it coming and prep myself and be okay. The opening clip is blood dripping out of an IV, I believe? And then blood pouring over hands, and then blades piercing skin and needles.
Just, like, massive amounts of blood.
Yeah. And, like, it ends with, like, a blood-covered face. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really gorgeously shot. And the fact that it's an educational scene really intrigues me, because that's the kind of thing that you need a lot of education around. And I think that's really cool, and I'd be really interested to see, like, how they wove the education into that. But it was a lot of blood. Like, a lot. And to the point where it's, like, it's not triggering for me, but I had to kind of look away with, like, the needles and stuff, because, like, not to, like, yuck people's yum, but I can't look at that. Like,
yeah,
it squicks me a little bit.
Right. And the point of trigger warnings and content warnings is to give people the freedom to decide what they can and cannot subject themselves to. And it's not even necessarily, like, a judgmental practice. It's just to be like, here, so you're aware, are some of the things that are going to be in what you're about to see. If any of these things are troubling for you, you can step out of the room or look away.
And sometimes you don't even, like, sometimes you don't even need to look away. Sometimes the trigger warning is enough for you to put your wall up and be like, oh, that's going to happen. Great, I am preparing myself to see that. And you can still go ahead. But to be blindsided by something like that can have a much more intense reaction.
Yeah. Oh. After they showed that scene, Carlisle Jensen made a joke about how, like, a lot of this stuff is so edgy. Like, isn't it so great that we're showing all this edgy stuff? And I was like, like, not everybody is okay with edgy stuff. And, like, that's why it's edgy. And, like... It was very frustrating to see her being so totally tone deaf to this problem.
And that said, most of the other stuff was not that edgy. Like, even the kink scenes were pretty standard kink scenes. And then it was just like, blood play! And I was like, ah, okay. Great, we took a leap there. Cool. So it was just... weird. And again, I'm sure it was a great scene. Like, the parts I saw seem really cool, but warn a bitch.
The host, Deb, also made a joke after the blood play scene and the vampire scenes, where she was like, there's so much blood in these scenes tonight, our periods are gonna sync up. And we were just like, that's a terrible...
It's not
like that's not even a funny joke, first of all. And like, again, just completely does not acknowledge what happened and why it was bad. And, like, I don't think that blood is that uncommon of a trigger. Like, they were acting as if everybody would be cool with blood, and, like, why wouldn't they be? And I think a lot of people are really squicked out by blood. And yeah. I don't think that that's that much to ask for a trigger warning for that.
Yeah. And the other thing we talked about earlier is that Feminist Porn Awards got called out in the past for nominating abusers.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year, they nominated some abusers.
They sure do love abusers there.
Which, like, stop. Just don't.
Just enough already.
Yeah.
Listen to your community.
And then, on top of all of that, it was sponsored by Lalo. Because, you know, naturally. They gave us hex condoms in the goodie bags. Which makes sense.
It was an appropriate piece of garbage as a parting gift for having experienced all the other garbage that was the evening.
There were good things, though.
There were, like, we tried to make a list of good things. There was, like, three or four. One of them was that you could take the Lalo notebook that was in your gift bag and put a Dildorks sticker over it, and then you have a Dildorks notebook.
It's, like, the perfect size. It covers it exactly. The performances were great, too.
Yeah, there were burlesque performances.
I felt so bad for them, because, like, the audience was so not engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they were really great.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to bring a crowd back after a blood play scene that they weren't warned about. And, like, after terrible non-consenty jokes. And, like, these people were amazing. Like,
yeah. I got the sense that the audience was, like, starving for anything that would be good and fun.
Yeah.
So they did appreciate the performers, and, like, absolutely their burlesque performances were the highlight of the night. But I've, like, we almost, like, forgot to mention them here because, like, everything else just overshadowed them so much.
Yeah.
So I really hope that Good For Her and the Toronto International Porn Festival take these criticisms into account. I don't know how many people are going to reach out to them about this stuff. I hope that people do if they feel able to. Because I really think any, like, organization that claims to be feminist or inclusionary, like, needs to focus on taking feedback from their community and improving themselves based on that feedback. And honestly, it was so bad. They are going to need all the feedback they can get to fix it for next time.
Yeah. Step one, start earlier.
Plan. Yeah. Okay. There was this moment where the host was reading Samantha Fraser's bio, and Samantha Fraser organizes something called the Playground Conference, which is an amazing sex conference. And Deb's reading the bio, and she's like, "The next Playground Conference is happening in February 2018," and she makes this face, kind of like, "Wow, that's a long way away." And I was thinking, like, yeah, this thing should have been planned that far in advance. And then maybe it would be approaching good. Like,
that's how you do an event.
Yeah. Oh, it made me so mad. Fucking hell. Okay. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Dildorks. Sorry if it was painful. It was painful for us to be there.
This is not the podcast I wanted to record.
Yeah. My name is Kate Sloan. You can read my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and my journalism portfolio at katewritesaboutsex.com. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff at?
I'm Bex. I'm at BexTalkSex on Twitter and Instagram, and you can read all my writing at BexTalkSex.com. Together we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram. We're at thedildorks.com. Search the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. You know how to find us. You found this. We are also the Dildorks on Patreon. It's patreon.com/thedildorks, and you can support us, which helps me get to rad events like this with, and, well...
Honestly, we deserve to be paid for having attended that terrible event, so...
There was one part where someone had recorded something in advance, and they, like, thanked the presenters for making this event the success that it was. And, I was just like, nope. Yep, okay.
Wrong, not that.
But you do help us be present in the community and go to events together and do really super cool things, and you get access to live podcast recordings and other fun stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you also to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song. You can find his music at protodome.bandcamp.com. And thank you, as always, to Amy Gardner at starboots_ on Twitter for having done our logo, which you can stick over the Lalo logo on your notebook from them. And it'll be instantly 150% better. I don't know where I pulled that number from. That's just fake math, fake news, but, like, it's cool. Thank you so much for listening to our show. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye. Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. I had no energy at all.
Welcome.
Is that funny?
Yes.